I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today we visit with Chandler Travis and his bandmates. We're going to meet here in a second. Chandler is on guitar and vocals, at least in this. How many bands do you actually play in?
It's mostly four.
Four, okay. And it's always guitar and vocals?
No, sometimes it's bass and vocals.
Okay. And then with the band that's the Chandler Travis Trio.
Yes.
Instead of trio, it's trio. Because there's four of you.
Right.
All right. So we have Fred Boak. Fred, your vocals.
Yes.
And I have seen you play in the little plastic monkey cymbals from time to time.
I do play the little plastic monkey cymbals sometimes, yes.
And Burke McClevey, clarinet, saxophones, keyboards, and vocals.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
And John?
I play string bass and vocals.
Yeah. And why didn't I write your name down here? I did. John Clark, there you are, string bass and vocals. All right, so we're going to talk and hear about some music from the Chandler Travis Trio in a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk about the Chandler Travis Philharmonic, a nine-piece ensemble, which you are all part of. How did this come to be? And it's not like I could think Philharmonic people have this image in their head, which is probably not exactly accurate for what
it was. Maybe so. It probably sounds a little more formal than we probably are.
Yeah, you know, a little more.
That started, like most things I do, it was a mistake. It was, I played a show with my friend Dinty Child, who was in the habit of, he had sort of a guest star night, and he had a little rhythm section, and then he was in the habit of asking whoever the guest star was, would you like some other backing or something like that? And he asked me that, and I just said, without really thinking about it, I just said, oh, yeah, sure, let's get some horns and chick singers, you know. And he actually did get the horns, and a couple of the horns were, well, one of them was Keiichi Hashimoto, who's an amazing musician. And the horn thing just turned out to be wonderful. It turned out that there was a whole bunch of songs that I'd had all along that hadn't made sense with the little guitar bands I've been playing with. Right. That made a lot of sense with that lineup.
And so how did you guys come to be part of the Philharmonic, Fred?
I was a super fan.
Oh,
I heard the band a bunch of times and traveled around to see them. And next thing I knew, I was selling merchandise, and then Chandler found out I could sing a little. And
So you were like the number one groupie, and you guys said, well, he's following us everywhere anyway. We might as well make him part of the band.
Yeah, kind of. Happened that way, didn't it?
It's just one of the dangers of being a bar fly.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, Burke, what about you?
I got invited by one of the horn guys back when the Philharmonic first started to sit in. A friend of mine said, you'd really like these guys. So I went out and I sat in, and I did really like those guys and just sort of stayed in touch. And over the years, subbed and sat in and made a pest of myself. And I was in California when they were out in California, and I worked with them as a musician out there. So when the time came to sort of look at having a regular woodwind guy, I said yes.
Yes.
So that's kind of the way that worked out.
All right, John, what's your story?
I guess about 6 years ago, Chandler was desperately looking for a bass substitute and called me in Cambridge, and I drove down for that. And
he's been driving back and forth ever since.
Yeah, yeah. Some miles on your car since then.
And then slowly I started doing more and more work with him. And
Well, all right, so this is the 10th anniversary of the Cape Cod Cavalcade for the Homeless. Tell us more about this.
I don't know where to start. I've always just loved Christmas music, and I thought, I was really looking for an excuse to just have a bunch of people play Christmas music, and then it seemed like it would be a really good idea if I could do something for someone else for a change, money-wise, just to have one concert where it actually goes to a benefit or something, and, because my life is so entirely selfish in every other way. That it seemed nice to do something like that,
And, so you invited a bunch of your musician friends, and you said, hey, we're all going to get together, we're going to play Christmas music, and it's been benefiting the NOAA shelter for many years.
Yes, for the homeless.
And I have to mention, I do sit on the NOAA Telethon steering committee, so I got to get that, transparency out there right now. And your concert's happening that weekend after the telethon, which is December 11th on the local access channels here across the Cape. A little bit different this year. In the past, it's always been the NOAA telethon, but this year the Housing Assistance Corporation has changed the name and the mission. It is now HAC's Three Family Shelters. The telethon has been renamed the Shelter Cape Cod Telethon. So anybody wants to tune in for that, it's 4 to 9 on Wednesday. And you guys are playing on the weekend. Which day was that?
We're playing on the Sunday,
right.
on the 15th. December 15th.
Jailhouse Tavern?
Yes, but there's a couple of other shows too. We do want one for the Somerville Homeless Coalition at Johnny D's on the 12th in Somerville, and we also do a show in Wellfleet at the Wellfleet Harbor Actors Theater on the 14th.
Right,
and all those benefits. And that also benefits. I think it's some kind of Yule for Fuel.
Yes,
it's a home heating thing, but also the Noah Shelter.
Right, and. I mean, you've got some really great company here.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Company on this. I mean, I was amazed. I'm like, wow. I love the Rip It Ups. And you have at Wellfleet, you're going to have Monica Rizzo. She's another great. I mean, wow.
Yeah, Tripping Lily. Yeah, and they've been a real staple. Their song, they do a song called Santa Will Find You. Mm-hmm. That if I had to pick one song that was really the heart and soul of the Cavalcade.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous song. Yeah. And it's something they do. You just can't imagine anyone doing it better than they do that song. It's just gorgeous.
So how fun is it to, you know, watch these bands that you see performing all this different type of music, and the one thing is they have to do Christmas music, and what are you doing? Are they doing a whole set?
That's the other thing that's great about the show is everyone just does two songs.
Oh, two songs. Oh, that's not too hard to do. Yeah.
So it's like vaudeville, you know? Yeah. I mean, things go, they come and go really fast. So if somebody, you know, if somebody isn't to your taste... You know, you just got
to
tough it out for like 5 or 10 minutes, and you know. Yeah.
So we're going to hear a song from the Philharmonic. Right, it's almost Christmas time again. Is that what we're going to hear?
Yeah, it's almost Christmas again. Yeah.
It's almost Christmas again. It's almost Christmas again. It's almost Christmas again. It's a very good time to get married. Christmas again. It's almost Christmas again. It's almost Christmas again. It's a very good time to be married. Thinking about Jesus and chosen to marry. Don't forget Curly and Mo and Larry. Here's to Jehovah, but he's pretty scary enough to make one wary.
I see. It's too bad you guys can't have any fun, right?
Yeah. There's some joy involved, no question about it.
Do you write that?
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah, what are you getting at?
I'm curious because we're going to hear some of the other music in a couple of minutes, but some of the song titles and lyrics, I think, what serves as your inspiration? Do you just like, I mean, you look at everything and everything's a possible song?
Well, yeah.
Isn't that how everybody looks at the world?
Well, you know, it does always, it always surprises me when people don't write songs, to tell you the truth. I mean, they float down, but I mean, I think it's just a matter of being, of tuning yourself to it. I've always just loved music, you know, so I'm always looking for that, you know, if there's, yeah. But I mean, people always have songs. I mean, people that do get songs in their heads, you know. I mean, people are always making up little songs.
True, yeah.
I got to go to the bank today, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah. My sister does it. Her songs are great, you know. So it's just a matter of sticking with that frame of thought, I think.
Right. Any of you other guys write?
Yep.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Okay. So, Burke, is it as easy to you as it comes to Chandler?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be practicing or warming up, and I'll get a melodic idea, or I'll be working on the piano, and I'll come up with a chord progression, and it'll be set aside, and then it'll get developed later. I mean, I do mostly instrumental music, so it's fun to work with Chandler, who has the lyrical side to things too.
Yeah, I would think that. I could see you guys having some fun coming up with the melody here, and you're coming up with the lyrics. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. All right, so this we'll put a link up on our website so that people go, wait, where? Because you're playing all over the place all the time. So we'll put a link so that people can check out your website and see where the Christmas Cavalcade, the Cape Cod Christmas Cavalcade, and the other two. Yeah.
I wanted to mention on that last song, that features the Philharmonic Trombone Shout Band, which is something you don't get to see that often. You do get to see it at Johnny D's at the Cavalcade, and it's like, you know, 12 or 15 trombonists and a tuba and... So that song there has about 30 people on it.
Wow. You need a big stage for that.
Yeah, it's a riot, man. And that isn't that big of a room. So it's a blast. You know, it's a great thing to see.
So how many different bands do you all play with? You mentioned you play with about 4. Do you all play with different bands as well, or the same 4?
two of Chandler's. Uh-huh. And then I call myself... Harmonizer at Large.
Ah, Harmonizer at Large.
By appointment
like
or by chance.
Or by misfortune.
Yeah. But I sit in with, there's a couple of songs I sing with Sarah Swain. There's a duet I sing with Kami Lyle. And mm-hmm. so if they're playing and I'm in the audience, a lot of times
they'll bring you up.
Get up and sing with them.
So you're a groupie of more groups than one, see?
I'm a music fanatic. Yeah, exactly. I love listening to music, love playing music. So it's.
And what about you, Burke?
Well, two of Chandler's bands. And then when he's not working with those two bands, then I have to amuse myself. So I also play here in Falmouth. I work pretty regularly with the Stage Door Canteen big band that Roger Gamache leads.
Yeah.
And on the Outer Cape, I play with Steve Morgan. Steve has a blues band, Steve Morgan and the Kingfish. Mm-hmm. And I'm part of the Kingfish horn section up there.
How many different horns do you play? I think I saw you guys play last weekend. I was going to say, you had like a couple of them hanging off, you know, reaching around for this. And
you
like,
shorter
wow.
list to find out what he doesn't play,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Well, I had the part of my training was to actually teach music in the public schools. So I actually had to pass a test on every instrument that I might possibly be asked to teach in the public schools, and a lot of them stuck. So I stayed with those and kept playing them.
Yeah, wow. But you become very proficient I'm on all of them.
Thank you.
All right, John, what about you? How many
I play in two of Chandler's bands, and I'm a freelance jazz player up in the Boston area, and I also play in an orchestra up there, mm-hmm. the New England Philharmonic.
Nice, okay. All right, so you have your latest CD is This Is What Bears Look Like Underwater. Where did that title come from?
You know, I've been trying to figure that out. I thought it came from a mixtape that a particular friend of mine sent, but I later found out that it didn't, so I have no idea. I've Googled the phrase and tried to find out where it came from, and I just don't know.
That's right. We'll just puzzle people with that. So let's talk about some of the songs on this. How about Little Things? You want to talk a little bit about Little Things, and we'll hear a little clip of that?
Sure.
All right. Tell us a little about this.
Well, it's just a little instrumental. It's mainly to just confuse people when we first start up.
Attention a getter there, you know, it's, and you know, you guys are really good at that, I will say, because as you know, I happened in a place you were playing last week at Liam's, and I did not know you were playing there, and my friend and I were talking, and we kept kind of going, who are these guys? And then, you know, it's the hats and the music, and then it's like, then you walked out into the audience playing your song, and I thought, this is brilliant.
Well, that's the main reaction I'm really shooting for is, what the?
No, it was a good what that we were like, who are they? It was a good who are these guys.
Yeah, we're trying to just let people know, you know, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, talk about this walking into the audience. Why do you do that?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure exactly what got
Fred
that
knows
going.
This story.
There's two different things. One was we had the idea, we had done it a couple times, I think, just to, I think there was a place, that coast place, we wanted to try walking around. You just thought the
at the coast we did it, huh?
You did it with John, I remember,
I would have remembered that.
But the main reason recently, it seemed like we did it to shut people up. Like when there was like a loud table, you go, let's unplug.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes you can, you know, it's always a battle to try and get people to actually listen in bars because they don't necessarily go to listen.
Right.
They're going to talk or hang out or whatever they're doing. And we don't care about that. We don't want to encourage any of that. We want them to just listen to us and pay attention. So, you know, sometimes you can get people to pay a little more attention by playing so soft that they can't hear you unless they shut up. Doesn't work always, but
right.
But sometimes, and it's also people react to us being out near them and doing it mariachi style almost as if it's a magic trick. I think people have, there's a lot of people that just aren't used to, or maybe have never heard music right next to them. They've they've only heard it through horrible sounding PA systems and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to hear
it was great.
Person to person.
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was great the way you walked through the crowd. And talk a little bit to, the other thing I really loved was the mix of music you play. Now, you know, a lot of this stuff is stuff you've written, but you do other songs as well and other style. I mean, different styles of music. It's not all one type of music that you're playing.
Well, it's all good.
Yeah, no, it is all good. Yeah, but I mean, even like you even had some. Most of it.
Some of it's intentionally
No, but like some of it's like, you know, I can't remember what song you're playing. Some kind of a doo-wop-y thing from the 50s, and I was like, wow.
Oh, Lonely Teardrops.
Okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah, and I was like,
which
wow.
We really should not be playing. Don't tell.
No,
anyone.
No, I thought it was great. I actually liked it.
Well, we didn't mean for that to happen.
Yeah, well, it did. All right, so let's talk about something else off of this. I know there was a couple songs you wanted to talk about, but there's one I want to hear the story about because I really liked this song a lot.
No, me first.
No, me first.
Oh,
I'm the host. Okay. I get to pick. Camel Passing Through the Eye of the Needle.
Oh, good.
All right. So that's yours? Did you write that one?
Yes.
Yes. And so where did that come from?
Well, it came from, I was in Vermont at a family gathering, and I was, I can't remember the name of the town, but I heard a bass line from probably a half a mile away. All you could hear was this boom, 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 boom. And I couldn't figure out how that would be something you'd hear in a club. It sounded so slow. And it sounded like, to me, it sounded like something from the Sahara. And I'd have no idea what else was going on. I still don't know what I was actually listening to. But it just came in over the trees.
So you said camel and passing through the eye of the needle.
Well, you know, I wrote the song and then, you know, you got to call it something.
Something.
It did sound like a desert thing.
We're talking with Chandler Travis Threo. That's Chandler Travis, John Clark, Fred Boak, and Burke McKelvey. And that is Camel Passing Through the Eye of the Needle from their latest CD. This is What Bears Look Like Underwater. So when you don't always know, like the instrumentals, I mean, you could have some fun with the titles of those because they could be anything, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so, but this camel, where did I get the camel, the Sahara kind of sound, but passing through the eye of the needle, where did that come from? Like, I don't know.
Well, from the camel.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, that's the rest of that phrase, you know. It seemed camel-like to me.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Camel-like. All right. So we're going to, you guys are going to play something live for us in a little bit, but I want to hear a couple more clips off of this CD. And one that you wanted, see, now it's your turn, Jim. Now, one you wanted to talk about is Make the Small Things Pretty. Tell us about that song.
Well, it's got a great lyric by David Greenberger, who's been my lyricist for decades now. And I don't know. There's another. It's kind of an oddball one. I love when it's hard to pigeonhole stuff, you know. So I think this qualifies.
Mm-hmm. drives away, saddened by the things that won't stop falling down. Road turns to mud, barely still a road, at least it goes away. Hats never off, faded banners mark lost time going round and round. The gray is the grouse, she doesn't cower, and she's never been afraid. Oh, how she likes to let the big things slide. How nice. All covered up, make the small things pretty, and inside, outside, inside. Do they know all those busy bodies making everything such bother? She gets so mad, it saddens her when no one seems to right their wrongs. Can't look away, she only looks closer so it looks like water. Put things away, she feels better when it's on where it belongs. She likes to keep it all inside. How nice.
So we should mention that it's not only the four of you in this Chandler Travis trio. Hearing drums there. There's a drummer there, right? The drummer's
yes,
not here with us today.
There's an amazing drummer, Ricky Bates, who plays in the Philharmonic. And when we do in-between stuff, he plays in the Philharmonette, and he plays in the Incredible Casuals and the Catbirds, my rock and roll bands as well. And he's amazing. Yeah. He's been with me for, well, I don't know, 35 years or something like that.
Yeah. So now, you're mentioning you've got several bands going here, and so I know you love music, and that's part of why you do this, but I have to ask you about the money side of things. I think for artists here on the Cape, they're right. always struggling to make a living off of their art. So do you guys have other jobs besides the bands, or is the four bands enough to keep you going?
For me, it's mainly the bands at this mm-hmm. point. Burke works at Berkeley. He's a professor.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Fred usually has a day job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And John's, of course, a gentleman of leisure.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. So since you're the professor, Burke, let me ask you about this. Did you, when you learned to play, you mentioned that you taught and you had to take a test on, right. on all these instruments. Did you learn to play in a school program, or was it a private lesson, or was it a
No, I had the sort of required year of piano lessons mm-hmm. that kids had in the 50s, and I liked it. So mm-hmm. I kind of stayed with that. But all of my woodwind and actually all of my other instrument learning, percussion, and they asked me to march trombone one year, so all that was school music program. I never had a private lesson other than those weekly piano lessons until I got to college.
Wow. I ask that because, we often talk a lot about some of the music programs that we see in the schools here, or some in some schools lack of, and it's such an important part of...
Yeah, and my high school band directors were really supportive. My elementary school director let my junior high school director know I was coming. Mm-hmm. Have some things for him to do.
I'll bet.
Yeah, and then he to the college to the high school guy. So I had a really lot of support where I grew up. There were several people that were my age in my class that all went on to do something in music. There were like five of us that kind of pushed each other. Can you play this, or have you done this? And it was a nice little group growing up.
Yeah, I grew up in the 60s, and I know we had same thing. Everybody had a little garage band. It still happens, I guess, but not like it did back then. Yeah. Where you after school you go to somebody's house and you're all playing on your instruments or. I'm like you, Fred. I was sitting on the couch watching and tapping my feet. I was the groupie.
Well, I sang. I was in a band.
You sang.
Yeah,
yes,
I sang. I sang in a rock and roll band in high school and a couple choruses school chorus, church choir, and also like a little professional group.
Right. When you did a cappella in college, right?
Yeah, and I sang in an a cappella group, the Corollaries of MIT.
I love that. I love those a cappella groups. They're so fun to listen to.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I did some arrangements for them and directed it for a couple of years.
Wow. All right, so you're going to play something live for us, and this is what the Strong Man of North America. Tell us about this tune.
That's another David Greenberger lyric that's got a lot of African-influenced ideas in it.
Feet to wake them, that turned out fine. Trinkets drop out pathways, found them every time. Down a long tight hallway, little hand drops free. Barefoot as the waves are chased back out to sea. While I'm not the man I was, here I am because I once was a strong man of North America. Alphabet and letters, they were made for you. Riddles in a bottle, everything was new. Writing down the numbers as the clock tells. Watch the glowing stars fade, one by one they fell. While I'm not the man I was, here I am because I once was a strong man of North America. When you thought the chimney might be falling, so frightened, that's when I stepped up into my calling, you strong man. When you let the world of love embrace you completely, then was time to set aside my costume, you made me strong man, retire. The strong man for you. I remember to my last day. Nothing else has mattered, these thoughts never stray. Down a long tall hallway, little hand drops free. Barefoot as the waves are chased back out to sea. While I'm not the man I was, here I am because I once was a strong man, North America. Who would know a shortcut through a cornfield, the strong man. I drove with both hands on the steering wheel, the strong man. I would like a glass of water, please, and thank you. Barely like a strong man, I am weak, but you made me the strong man, retired, the strong man for you. Thank you.
We're visiting with Chandler Travis and his trio, John Clark on string, bass, and vocals, Fred Boak vocals, and Burke McLevy clarinet, saxophones, keyboards, and vocals. All right, so you got another live song for us that you're going to do. Things to You, tell us about that.
It's written by Terry Adams of NRBQ, who's one of my favorite musicians in the world and one of my favorite bands. If you don't know about NRBQ,
wow, they were fantastic.
Please do yourself a huge favor and find out.
You know what's an interesting thing about that band, though? They're great recorded, but live, you couldn't have a better experience than watching those guys live. And he's all arms and hands. I mean, to watch him play that
amazing piano
was just unbelievable.
Yeah, love him.
I'm a good dream come true. You're like a clear sky of blue. Let us be one.
Thanks.
Anybody else with the early on, did you start in school, a music program, or was it, do you remember? Do you remember when you first picked up that first guitar?
I think I was maybe 12 or 13 or something like that. And I had a year of private lessons. And that was pretty much it.
And why the guitar?
Oh, because of the Beatles and Elvis, what do you mean, why?
Right. Well, that leads me to John, who's got this enormous string bass.
Get
a little bit closer
question.
To that microphone and tell us. Well, I mean,
I have the typical bass player story, which is that I didn't play an instrument, and there were two guitar players. And so they just said, you're the bass player. But I started out playing electric, and I was in the Boston area in the early 70s. And actually, I was playing the music I wanted to play, which was Ry Cooder and that sort of stuff. But all my friends started going to Berkeley, that evil place. and they all deserted me for jazz. And eventually,
but you stayed true to your roots there.
Well, right? I did switch over to string bass.
And it was
bass.
Peer pressure,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And luckily, you can pick up the string bass later in life, or at least back then. It's such a big instrument that young kids didn't play it. So
How much does that weigh?
Oh, I don't know, maybe 60 pounds or something. Yeah. It's not that heavy.
It's not just kind of.
It's just large.
You have to have a big car.
It's hollow.
All right, so I'm going to go back to the latest This Is What Bears Look Like Underwater, because there's another song that I really like that I wanted to hear about. And this was I Still Drink My Coffee Blue.
Oh, written by the lyric from my... The reason I ended up on Cape Cod was because Rob Hart, my friend, who wrote the lyric to I Still Drink My Coffee Blue, his folks had a house on Cape Cod. And they went away long enough that we took it over. And then when once we were done with it, they didn't want it back.
Tell all my friends that life is breeze. Without that woman, I just do as I please. Spend all my days taking my ease until the sun goes down. Then about 5 o'clock, I take a nip or two. Right around midnight, I'm through. But when I wake up in the morning, still drink my coffee blue. I like my eggs over easy, take my steaks done rare. Pretty girl can tease me with the toss of her hair. Since she said she'd leave me, man, I just don't care. When the sun goes down, when Sherry tells me, honey, gotta try something new. Look across the pillow and it just ain't you. But when I wake up in the morning, still drink my coffee blue. Cream in too, stiffen it with whiskey if it's what you gotta do. Ever since when baby told me she was all through, I've been drinking. Then about 5 o'clock I break out the brew. Right around midnight I'm through. But when I wake up in the morning, still drinking coffee blue. Still drinking coffee blue. Still drinking coffee blue. Still drink coffee blue. Still drink coffee blue. Still drink coffee blue. Still drink coffee blue.
See, I decided we got to hear that whole song. It was short enough that we could hear the whole thing. I love that. That's cool. A lot of fun. So when you've got these different bands, you're playing different music. How do you come up with, you know, this, like I was saying before, the different sets that you kind of put together? Do you talk about that as a group? I mean, how do you figure out what you're going to play at each of your gigs?
Mostly we don't.
You just say, hey, how about this?
Yeah, we've ended up mostly doing that. Occasionally we'll make out sets, and those are a lot of fun, but I get really obsessive about that. Mm-hmm. When I make out a set, it takes usually longer than it takes to play the set. Literally. And you know, I mean, we used to argue about that forever in my old bands, you know, because I had Steve Shook, my old partner, mm-hmm. also was obsessive about that. It's really interesting trying to make out sets, actually, especially when you have so many different things you're trying to get in.
Yeah.
So the segues and it's, you know, it's really fun doing that, actually.
Exactly.
But it's crazy doing it every day. So, you know,
yeah.
And it's also really fun just following your you know, just doing it off the cuff.
Well, it seems like you guys have a really good time reading the crowd and kind of reacting with that. So in a way, it's kind of like, you know, if you're up there as a stand-up comedian or something and having to interact with the audience, so you can sort of see who your audience is and say, well, you know, I think they might like this tune. They're reacting to this, right?
Right, right, right. Well, that is in part the idea, although I'm usually happier ignoring them.
I want to hear one more off of the latest CD, but I'm torn. So okay. I like Zoe and I like Stuck.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So how do we choose?
Let's
flip a coin. Oh, there you go. That's a good idea.
Let's ask. You're going to ask Abe.
You kind of well. Zoe is heads and
sure, and Stuck is tails.
Yeah,
all right,
tails. Okay.
What do we got?
Heads.
All right.
Which one was that?
Zoe.
Okay,
all right,
fair enough.
So let's hear Zoe. To come in the middle, but you know, we only have so much time, you know.
Oh, sure, they always talk over the bass solo, don't they?
All right, so what about rehearsing? Do you guys rehearse? I mean, when you have a new tune, do you have time to rehearse between all of these gigs that you have?
Actually, this feels like my first band in decades that actually does rehearse quite a bit.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Loves to rehearse. We all love that part of it, you know.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah,
the detailing is just wonderful fun.
Yeah, we had, I mean, the first 10 years of the Philharmonic or so, it was just a matter of trying to see how much good work you could get done without rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were working with a lot of charts and just working off the cuff a lot. And that was great. And I thought it worked pretty well. But at the end of it, I was kind of like, yeah, but man, what about detailing and really trying to make these mm-hmm. things perfect, you know?
Yeah. Do you get to do any kind of improv stuff? I know, being a jazz guy, John, you probably like to do that. Do you get to do that with this group?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, I'd say Burke actually does more. The horn players mm-hmm. do most of that, but
yeah,
there is some bass soloing.
Yeah. There is, yes.
Yeah,
and occasionally we'll invent songs on the spot. You know, I mean, the idea has always been to go from stuff that is completely unprepared to stuff that is, you know, every note is really set, you know,
right.
And I think that dynamic, having both of those things in there, is really fun.
Yeah. Well, you guys look like you're having a lot of fun.
There's a lot of onstage banter that's just, you know, sort of off the cuff too.
Yeah.
Way off.
Yeah, sometimes way far too off.
I think that's what makes it so attractive is that you guys are having such a good time up there and you're playing good music and it just kind of, it's like a magnet. You know, I came in for one drink and I stayed to the last song you played. I couldn't leave.
Well, it's a wonderful job to have
to have it doors.
I mean, it's essential for us to be having a great time if anyone else is going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really, that's a good job assignment.
Right. So you are going to leave us with If We Can Just Make It Through Christmas, and will you be playing this on the Cavalcade for the Homeless?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about this one.
It's just about what an ordeal Christmas is.
Right. John Clark on string, bass, and vocals, Fred Boak vocals, Burke McClevey clarinet, saxophone, keyboards, and vocals, Chandler Travis guitar and vocals. It's the Chandler Travis Trio and the Chandler Travis Philharmonic. Thank you guys so much for being here. Really had a great time.
You are welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks also to Steve Junker for production support. I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
One, two, three, four. They've all got that Christmas spirit. All I am is sad. All I feel is bad. How'd we ever get like this in the first place? Fighting over nothing, you scratched my face. And how can it be true? How can you forget how much I love you? Ah, we can just make it through Christmas. Ah, we can just make it through Christmas. Ah, we can just make it through Christmas. We'll make it through anything. Do you remember when Christmas was a pretty good time? To lay there in bed with your eyes shut so tight, trying so hard to sleep, failing not to make a peep. Today I hated everybody in the mall, it's true. And I'm talking to myself broken, walking in circles. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm only trying to find a way to say how much I love you. Ah, we can just make it. Just make it through Christmas. Ah, we can just make it through Christmas. We'll make it through anything. Snow is on the ground, but I don't care. It doesn't count. It only brings me down. Just make it through Christmas. Ah, we can just make it through Christmas. Ah, we can just make it through Christmas. We'll make it through anything. Ah, we can just make it through Christmas. Ah, Christmas. Ah, we can just make it.